Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy,
toppy, toppy.
It's Burkamp.
Hashtag
fuck Ellis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to Burkamp Wonderland Live. It's the mental health follow-up special. How are we all? It's been a couple of weeks since we last did a live show. As we promised you, we are following up the mental health special we did previously. But bearing in mind the result that day, we've had to leave it a while for our own sanity, you know? Joining me tonight, I have the one and only, my brother from another mother. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. You all right? How you doing, mate?
I haven't heard that for a while. I really enjoyed that. Really. You know, I missed that. I might have to phone you up some morning.
Oh,
just
God,
you
know. Dear.
It's what I have to put you in.
That sounds scary.
This is the thing. Also, let me introduce my next guest. It's Paul Price from Crystal Palace. Hello, Paul.
Hi there. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks, mate. It's good to have you
back. Yeah, no, it's nice to be back. Thank you.
Well, we've got to remember, see, Paul, we do a show after every single game, okay?
Yeah.
And majority of it is myself and John. And so you just get used to speaking to people.
Of course, yeah.
On a weekly basis. And when they're not there, it's bizarre. It's as if, you know, where's my mum?
You've been scratching at the back door or that kind of sort of pining.
Oh, something like that. Something like that. We've been through the mental health special. Mm-hmm. We know what we've said. And this is basically to recap on the day. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Paul. I want you to describe the day and we'll ask you questions as we go along.
Okay, fantastic. So we all accumulated around about 8:30 at Selhurst Park. And there was a little bit of fear from my side in that you sort of think, well, you've put all these wheels in motion. Who's going to actually turn up? Because there's no kind of registration or anything. But then little by little, you saw Palace shirts arriving. You saw the Arsenal shirts arriving. Leon McKenzie was there as well. So he's a big person who pushes the whole mental health thing as well. So suddenly, next thing you know, there was probably 60, 70 odd fans. And we had a few pictures taken and then set off. So, set off straight away. Straight away, everyone's mingling. It's just a lovely day. Pictures are all together, and we set off for the first leg, which was up towards Gypsy Hill, which was purposely planned because it's quite steep. So the aim was to get that bit out of the way first of all, and then to a degree, it's all downhill from there, all the way, almost all the way to Arsenal. Slight incline once you're over the Thames. So so that was that. We continued down there. What we'd done as well is we'd arranged some pubs in advance. So we had a lovely welcome at Half Moon in Herne Hill. And then walked. So they basically opened up the back garden for us, and it was a stunning day. We were so, so lucky with the weather. It was amazing. And then we went to another one, which I can never forget. I can never remember even, which is a pub that's on Blackfriars Road right near the bridge. So we all stayed there. By now, everyone's chatting. I've got loads of amazing pictures of Arsenal fans walking with Palace fans, and everyone's, I don't know, they might be talking about their dog or their football or their own mental health situation or whatever, but everyone was just chatting, and it was just a really, really lovely day. And then we had this lovely episode where a chap called Ed, at first, I'll be honest, I didn't realise he was taking part in the walk, but he caught us up and he looked a bit flustered and sort of said, I've been walking from Selhurst. And I thought it was a bit of a joke because of the, just in the shirts. But then I realised that he was pushing his granddad in a wheelchair. So and he had heard about the whole walk and the theme from your show. So basically, you know, I didn't expect that at all. Never heard of him before, but he joined. So that just sort of goes to show the power of doing what we're doing now, really. There was a lovely moment as well where after the pub in Blackfriars, we all waited. There was literally, by then, there was probably about 100 odd people. We all waited while Ed's granddad, who didn't want to be carried down the stairs, decided he was walking. So we waited, we dropped down the stairs. There was a lovely spirit, a lovely togetherness. And I don't know, it just epitomized the day almost. It was, you know, we're all here together. and we started together and we're going to finish together. And within reason, we did that. Another lovely moment was walking over the Millennium Bridge. You could just see the different color shirts as far as the eye could see going into the distance with St. Paul's. And then once we actually got to St. Paul's as well, we heard it was a bit of a Palace song. There was a little bit of an Arsenal song started because we was all on the steps. And then all of a sudden this Palace song started bellowing out, which is, yeah, we love you. But everyone can join in with that. It's not Palace specific as such. And then from there, carried on. Just a love, again, lovely spirit. We went up to the, it's quite funny actually. We went up to the pub in Angel. It's a Wetherspoons. And it was always billed to be like a place to just pick up people that were didn't want to do the whole walk. But it, as I said, it's like cat herding. You go into a pub and then someone orders a drink, and they're not supposed to be ordering a drink, but someone's ordered a drink, and then Someone else thinks, "Oh God, he's got a drink, so I'm going to get a drink." And then I had a bit of a trials and tribulations trying to get them out of there. But I did that in the end. And then the next piece was we just walked up to Pyebury Corner. We got there a little bit late, but there was a nice sort of accumulation of people there. Again, just lovely spirit. By then, we were kind of like 120 strong. And I just had, as I was walking as well, I could hear people going, "Oh, what's this? Oh, it looks like that walk that's been advertised." So that was quite nice to hear as well. And then the very last thing we did was went and donated into the food bank. So that was also a really nice touch, and I felt like it was a really, really fitting way to end such a lovely day. Really, it was really, really good. So I mean, that's the walk in a very quick nutshell. Obviously it was a bit tougher than what I've just described it as, but that was just fantastic. Everyone together, everyone walking for the same thing, everyone chatting, just a lovely friendly day. I forgot to mention as well, very quickly, at the pub in Blackfriars, a few people started looking at me all a bit strangely, as if to say, "Oh, hang on, what's going on here?" When the Met Police football unit turned up in their big transit, stuck it in the middle of the road outside, and they saw them coming in, and they're thinking, oh, here we go. But the thing is, because I go to all the games, I know them all. So they was actually just coming to see how we were getting on. So nice. that was lovely. Had some pictures taken with those guys as well. So no, fantastic, just a fantastic day. I'm still sort of buzzing from it now, to be honest with you. Made so many good friends. It's just been brilliant.
I've got to be honest with you. I mean, one of the things that gets me with, so we saw the pictures on the day, and they were brilliant. They were brilliant to see. Remind everybody again, how far is it from Selhurst Park to the Emirates, please?
Well, it's only about 12 miles, so it's a distance that, within reason, pretty much anyone could do. You know, if you set your mind to it, you can do 12 miles. If you go above that and you start doing 16, 17, it gets a bit more difficult. Yeah. But 12 miles is a very doable distance. It's all on pavement as well. You know, we're not trundling across the country or the Pennines or something like that.
But it's still 12 miles, okay? Yeah. Not many people, you know, everybody who took part in this walk. We're going to come back to Ed in a second, because I just think Ed's story is just magic. I'm so impressed by this guy and his granddad. We've mentioned him on the podcast a couple of times, but I can't mention this fella enough. Okay, he sums up what's good about people in general, let alone football fans. But it's still 12 miles. Not many people got their way to walk 12 miles. So everybody who took part in this, fair play to them. You got to take your hat off them, whether they did 6 miles or they did 12 miles. But to actually turn up, take time out of their day to do it.
It was Easter Sunday as well. Yeah, Easter Sunday as well, you know. So that was the other thing. You know, a lot of people go away over Easter. Yeah. The fact that it was an away game and not everyone could get tickets, that's also another factor. So that probably had a little bit of an impact on numbers. But yet they all still turned up and still supported and turned up in their numbers as well. And everyone I've spoken to, there's not one single person I've spoken to that sort of said, "Oh, I didn't really enjoy it." Everyone was buzzing at the end of it. It was amazing.
Tell me about the mix of people on the march, please, and sort of age groups, if you could.
Well, I'd say there were a couple of younger people, sort of around early teens. The oldest person we had, I got a message from a guy just before the event saying, "Well, my granddad wants to take part." And he was 71. And and I sort of said, oh, okay, yeah, absolutely fine. He said, and the guy, I didn't have to ask. The guy came straight back and said, don't worry, he walks 8 miles every single day. So, yeah, so he joined, and he brought with him like about 8 family members as well. The mix of the group was, I would say there were probably a quarter of them were ladies as well. So I know we always do it for men's mental health, but that's because that's such a big thing. 75% of people that take their own lives are men. So that's why we've done that. And the whole football thing aims down that avenue as well, because, you know, there's typical stereo. Sort of stereotype football fans are guys, but there was, yeah, I'd say 25% were ladies. They all had a lovely time as well. It was just, I don't know, just such a mix of people. There was probably, I'd say on the day, probably a quarter to a third were Arsenal fans. We had a guy turn up in a Portsmouth shirt. I think there might've been a Cheltenham fan in there as well. Don't quite know where they were going, but yeah, but they were like friends of, so there's the Arsenal Armed Forces account. His dad's a Portsmouth fan, so his dad wanted to do the walk. He decided to come along in his Portsmouth shirt, and that's what it's all about. It's about all these different, you know, it doesn't matter what colour you're wearing. It has no colours. So let's, you know, let's all just get out there and do something about it. So yeah.
It just fills me with so much joy that, you know, people have taken the time out there of a bank holiday weekend and taken part in this. And you know, we've been fortunate enough to play a tiny part in sort of trying to promote it.
On that, I'm so grateful to you guys as well, because, you know, like Ed wouldn't have joined for a start. You know, that's one thing. But it's that publicity. It is about people doing the walk, and it is about the walk. But the walk's kind of like a centerpiece. You have to do something, otherwise there's nothing to actually talk about. But, you know, through avenues like yourself, it just makes a massive difference. So thank you to you guys.
Look, it's our pleasure. You know, I mean, Gav from She War informed me about this, and as soon as he did, you know, there's no second thought. I knew I could speak on behalf of myself and John, yeah, to say yes, absolutely, we're all in. And so, you know, it's our pleasure to be part of it, Nick.
Thank
it really
you.
Is. I want to go back to Ed Loud, because this guy's my new hero. You know what I mean? Screw Dennis Bergkamp. I suppose I love you, Dennis. Okay.
Are you going to be the Ed Loud Wonderland?
Oh, there's certain people in this world, okay, who I just adore for their actions, you know? And it can be the tiniest little things, but to push his granddad 12 miles, for his granddad to walk down the steps, etc. What was the kind of response to that within the group?
Oh, I mean, that was massive. First of all, I just thought it was Ed was in like a grey shirt and a pair of braces, and he's walking along, and there's his granddad basically in the wheelchair, and I thought they'd just like come out of one of the local houses and made some pun about how they'd been trying to chase us at Selhurst. I didn't realise that they'd actually joined, you know, straight away. And I've got a lot on my mind anyway. I've got to, you know, I've got to herd 100 odd people through London on my own. So that was kind of that. But the people started then getting this realisation, and it was just lovely to see. I mean, Ed did it because Ed's a carer for his granddad, and I admire him for that. He doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want me to go over the top with anything like that. That's very much the feeling I get. But I admire him for that, and he wanted to do something where he could almost represent mental health within the caring community. You know, his life must be different to other people's lives in respect that he spends a lot of time with his grandfather. So that's why he joined. The stairs piece was just amazing. It was we literally blocked off the whole stairwell, and also the sort of thoroughfare along the south side of the embankment, while we all waited for this sort of elderly gentleman to come down the stairs to, you know, much cheering and support coming from everybody that was taking part. It was just an amazing moment. It was so lovely and so heartwarming. You know, it was just brilliant.
When we first got, because myself, Jason, and the other guys from the pod obviously got contacted and told about Ed and that story. When I first heard it, it's one of those things where you think that's the sort of thing you would see in a TV show, or it's like written for a script. It's not the sort of thing that happens in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's such a nice story to hear. And any time we get, you know, whether it's a listener or, you know, someone, you know, a listener who's recommended a friend and said, oh, the guys have been talking about mental health again and maybe go and get yourself checked. And whenever we get a positive story back, in whatever form it is, whether they've helped in a charity way or like yourselves done with the walk or gone to see a health professional, it makes all of it worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Just being out there and talking about it.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, it was just, I don't know, it was just an amazing moment and something, you know, without sounding funny, that will live with me for probably forever. And certainly every time I think of doing one of these walks, you know, there's just certain moments that just epitomize it and just make it so special. And that was just one of them. The steps at St. Paul's was another. Little bits like that, they just stand out. It's just an amazing day.
It's one of those things to add to that. And by the way, the person I'm going to mention now, and Ed Loud, and his granddad, this show is dedicated to you three in particular, because you absolutely rock. I'm so impressed by people and the way they behave. But I had a quick check, that's a few days after we released the show, and one of our regular listeners put a comment on YouTube, and it went along the lines, this is why I love you guys. I've been feeling really down recently. You know, he's had to take time off work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And things like this have helped him.
Yeah.
And he knows who he is. I'm not going to mention his name. You know who you are. But for you, for Ed and your granddad, you know, we are always there. And the feeling that this gives us, as much as, you know, admit, you know, we feel good for passing on this message. Of course we do, okay? Because we know if it just helps one person, that's all that matters.
It's all worthwhile.
And you see the way people react to it. Yes, some people just say, look, I just want to listen to football. That's fine. Absolutely fine. But for those who take part, like every single person on that march, and Ed, his granddad, and the gentleman in question, who put the comment down on the YouTube channel, you know, I'm in awe of you all. I'm in absolute awe of you all, because, you know, you've gone out and you've done something positive, which is magnificent.
Thank you.
So I'm, okay, let's get the tough part.
I know what's coming.
Look, pal, okay, this is your Paul, okay? I like you well enough, okay? But there's a line.
Did you enjoy the game? I haven't crossed that yet.
You can, pal, you've earned the right. Did you enjoy the game, mate?
Yeah, the game was amazing. You know, I was with some really good friends. A lot of the people that I'd done the walk with for a start. I thought we played really well. I thought we took it to you, looked dangerous throughout. I don't know. The other thing as well, and this is, I don't go to football just for the game. I go to football for the camaraderie, the support, the people that you think a lot of that are there. And it was just this lovely day of, I mean, that was the cherry on the cake, obviously, after the walk. But it was a lovely day of like having a laugh together. I thought the atmosphere in our bit was rocking all the way through. It was just a good laugh. We didn't go there expecting anything, as we said before. We just turn up and occasionally something like that happens. So I just thought we did really well, and I honestly think we deserved the win as well. So yeah, and we had a good laugh afterwards as well with the Arsenal fans that were above us, about, you know, just giving them a bit of jip, and they were giving us some back. But it was nice. It wasn't horrible, you know. And we had a little dance outside your stadium.
on our graves.
No, just outside the front there. So,
to be fair, we did the show after the game, didn't we, John? And yes,
I don't want to talk about it again. I can't.
Well, I've tried to be nice here. I've only just gone over the main bits of it. So,
No, it was you definitely, it was the right team won the game in terms of performance. But yeah, as an Arsenal fan, it was a painful watch.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And this isn't to sound funny or anything, but that was almost like that was the beginning of you had, you know, you've had a quite bad end of the season, and that was like what seemed to be the, I'm not saying it's the catalyst of it, but that seemed to be the beginning of something, and you know, your results didn't go so well after that, did they?
That was the Unai trusting in the magic dynamism of Elneny and Guendouzi in midfield.
Paul, it was the kick in the ghoulies that we couldn't recover from. It really was.
Well, it was one the thing is, so I should mention him as well. There's a guy called Jake Corr, and Jake's been doing. He's got his own sort of issues. That you know, if you look him up on Twitter, he'll explain what they are. But he's got his own issues and stuff, and he's been doing some little podcasts and different bits on Facebook and stuff like that. But Jake was absolutely immense all day. Just such a, you know, he helped so much with all of the organizing and everything. But the other key thing as well is, despite that result, Jake and a number of other Arsenal fans all came back into the Palace away pub. You know, the one on the corner at Drayton Arms.
Oh yeah.
They all came in there after because they were obviously disappointed with the result, but they were still in a really positive frame of mind because of the walk. So they came in to make sure, you know, that we were having a nice time and we were being looked after. And, you know, we gave them a little bit of like banter, but none of it was like rude or offensive or anything. Cause we're not like that anyway, yeah. But we just had a bit of a laugh with them, but they stayed in there for, you know, a good couple of drinks. And I just thought that was another thing that sort of epitomized that togetherness. They put the result behind them. And then came down to the bar. And I just thought that was lovely, really did.
That's a real measure of a person, that is, isn't it? You know, to Jay Cole and all the others who went back in the pub afterwards. Hats off to you guys as well. That's absolutely fantastic. So again, you know, so the march was in aid of raising awareness for Calm. Campaign against living miserably. I had that done pat before the show.
So
I had it down pat before the show, and I stumble at the first hurdle.
Yeah,
and again, you know, tell everybody what you're trying to do.
So what we're trying to do really is, first of all, demonstrate. I think this is really key point. Demonstrate that it's okay to talk about this stuff, be it in person, be it on social media. I posted my whole story about why I am where I am and why I feel like I posted it on social media, and I thought, do you know what? It's about that demonstrating piece. The next thing we want to do is try to break down the barriers and encourage people to be able to talk, and for people to realize that it's okay to talk. It doesn't mean you're weak or anything like that. We get a lot of this sort of bravado type stuff with men, especially men who go to football. It doesn't mean you're weak. It just means that you know you're in a bad place and you need someone to help you out. You need a bit of mending, and we all need that from time to time. So it's about getting people to do that, be it to friends, family, or a charity. If you feel really alone, is to tell people that they are never actually ever alone. There's always somebody out there that can help, and it's to get people to reach out and find that support. The piece that's come off the back of this, and I noticed this after the Fulham one as well, is you get a real kind of like support network. So I set up two groups as such on Twitter in the direct messages. And what you get is you find that people talk about it before and they talk about it after. And sometimes people post stuff about themselves and I'm feeling like this. But what you see is other people that did the walk coming together and say, oh, do you want to meet up? Do you want to do this? Do you want to give me a call? Here's my number. And they're people that all just met on that day. You know, in a majority of cases. And it's about, I suppose it's a bit of a legacy from the walk, really, in that there's still something there where people can find someone to speak to. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult talking to family or friends or whatever, direct friends, because you don't want to burden them. You don't want them to feel like you're weak or whatever. But this is a nice little outlet where you might have spoken to Joe Bloggs on the walk and he might have said something to you. So straight away, you've got that little bit of a connection, something that you've both got in common that you can talk about. And that's what we're trying to do. So Lee at Fulham started this with the concept, and we're looking to do more of this in the future, looking to perhaps get more clubs involved as well. I'm basically waiting for the fixtures to come out, and then we want to do do some more walks next year. I think the main thing as well is it's just pushing that message, getting it out there, and you know, through social media and stuff, which is the real power, in my opinion. The walk is, say, is the centerpiece. We can do that. We can really, really do that. You know, I don't know what the stats are, but if you look at the coverage of potentially who saw what we were doing, probably easy a million Twitter accounts got hit. Susanna Reid tweeted about it, for example. I mean, she's probably got nearly that as well. Crystal Palace Football Club, pretty much, you know, I think they're something like 900,000. So, you know, that's where the power comes. So, yeah, with regards to new fixtures, I actually really want to do another one with Arsenal again, because enjoyed it so much. So maybe an Arsenal down to Selhurst this time, something like that.
That was going to be one of my questions, actually. Was you planning on following it on? that was following it on into next season and trying to and carry this on and keep it going.
Yeah, definitely. And I've had messages on a direct message from Lee at Fulham, various other people that have now got interested in it. Lee's got some people at Fulham as well, who have done a number of them with him. And what they've been talking about is how we take it forward. So I think we could probably want to do like a pre-season one I think it's only about 5 miles to Dulwich Hamlet, just for something to do over the summer as well. And as soon as the fixtures come out, I intend sticking some pins in them and saying, right, that one, and that one, and getting something done. Possibly doing something else at some point as well, but I feel like it's got some momentum, and I feel like it's going in the right direction. I think Lee does too. It's just a case of continuing. I won't stop now either. Won't stop.
Brilliant.
I've seen the positivity that comes from it.
You can rely on us for support going forward.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate that.
Anytime. The Arsenal on pre-season tour to the States. I'm not over there. But if anybody stateside wants to do anything in the same vein, get in touch.
Yeah. If the guys get in touch with you, we've got a load of CPFC stateside as well. So that's where we are. Our club are very poor at organising their close season tour, so we've got no idea yet. We've got one game at Selhurst, which has actually been announced, and nothing else has been announced. Normally about 2 weeks before the event.
In all fairness, Crystal Palace retweeted it, okay, which is more than the Arsenal did. I'm a bit disappointed in the club for that. They must have seen it. And it's just a case of, come on, guys, you know, get behind it. Because they got 4 million or whatever, 5 million Twitter followers. And, you know, they're never going to do it. But, you know, come on, join in, you know. It's something good.
No, I agree. I agree with that, because this isn't... It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about everyone. This is something that affects absolutely everyone. It's bigger than your football club, my football club, or anything.
And the big thing was, it's purely about the march, not about us as a podcaster, and then purely about the march.
No, absolutely.
And that's the thing, you know. It's about the message rather than anything else, you know.
Yeah.
Which is important. And that, I saw Crystal Palace retweet it, and I thought that's magnificent.
Yeah, yeah, they did. You know? They did that, which was good. I mean, I have to pull. I know quite a few people one way or another. So what I do is I pull a few strings here and there, and that was. But what the one bit that I thought was amazing was, I got a call, from a guy who works at Palace. He's called Ben Mountain. He phoned me up and said, can I do an interview with you? And I was actually at work that day, and I just thought, do you know what? This is more important than anything. It's so unlike me. I'm very conscientious with regards to my work, but I just went, right, that's it. And I went into like a meeting room, had this full interview with him. Next thing you know, he's typed it all up and the club sent it out. And I thought that was amazing. You know, that really was great that they did that.
Magnificent. John, jump in.
No, I mean, I think you've answered everything, Paul. And honestly, it's just so pleased that we could help get the message out. I mean, the story about Evan's granddad's fantastic.
Yeah.
And honestly, looking forward to what you do next season, you know, however many games it's going to be, and just see if this can get bigger and bigger. And, you know, maybe we could, if there is one that happens in America whilst the Arsenal are over there, that'd be an amazing thing to see. So, listeners, if you're a viewer and, you know, you're over in the States or whatever, get in contact, and we'd love to try and help organise those things, because it's not something that's, like you said before, it doesn't matter about what colour you wear on your shirt or, you know, sex, religion, race, anything. It'll pick on anyone. So it's a thing for everyone. And I really do hope it just continues to grow and gets more awareness.
No, thank you. So no, really appreciate it. Thanks for all of your help and support. And as I said earlier, it's, you know, that's kind of what it's all about. So really do appreciate it. It's all about spreading that word. You know, if this touches one person, it's been a success.
Look, it's genuinely is our pleasure. You know, we've all been touched by this in one way or another. And I think suicide is the biggest killer amongst men over between 25 and 40, is it something?
Yeah, well, biggest killer of men under 45. It's 45. Sort of, yes, like 84 a week. Yeah. That equates to something like 4,500, 4,600 a year. So it's those lives plus the ones that they leave behind. That's, you know, that's proper devastation.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I mean, I'm going to go on a bit of a rant, and I'm going to harp on about it for a second. But, you know, enough of the tough guy stuff from people. Enough of the, you know, it's somebody else's problem. Enough of you're alone in it. You know, we can help each other. You know, that's what we're here for. You know, we're lucky enough to do this stupid Arsenal podcast, which gives us a lot of joy, and we're lucky enough to have listeners where we're able to interact with people, and we're able to hear from people, and we get some lovely messages, because I don't even know how it started, how we actually started talking about mental health in it. But it's been going two or three seasons now, and for every one message we get, the sense of feeling that goes through the group is sensational, and it's a positive message. You know, it's an actual sense of accomplishment, rather than, you know, we've won national awards, we've won the FBAs. That means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. One message, one positive message means a million times more than that. But it's down to people, you know, if you're worried about somebody, if you're concerned about somebody, you know, you've got to do it in a tactful way, but try to encourage them to talk to someone. If you're feeling down, if you're, you know, if you're not with it, if you're worried that you're suffering, buddy, even the thought of it, you're not bothering anybody by talking to them. And when you actually open up and start talking and start recognizing the fact that even you may have a problem, you may know you've got a problem, but even if you've got the inkling that you've got a problem, by opening up and accepting it and talking to people, you're going to help yourself. And that's the bravest thing in the world. It's the absolutely bravest thing in the world to actually acknowledge that there's something you can do to help yourself. Nobody else is going to do it for you. People can understand, but you've got to take that first step. And if you do that, your life will get better. It really will. And if you can help somebody, if it's a friend, you know, just be there to listen. You don't have to say anything. Be there to listen. You know, a quick Google search, give them a number of somebody who can actually help, a professional. Don't be alone in this. Nobody is alone in this. We're all there for you. And, you know, you can even message us idiots. You know, we're a fat lot of good we are, but we're more than prepared to listen. You know, but the helplines are there. You can get the information. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Talk to a stranger in the pub. Doesn't really matter. I think this March has shown that, you know, when you start opening up and sharing information, life gets a lot better. Yep, so, you know, that's my rant over. Sorry.
No, what you said is like so bang on. You know, it's about that. It's about checking in on that mate who you haven't seen for a while, asking them if they want to come out. And it's tough. You know, we've all got busy lives, and sometimes you haven't got time to do that. But that one little text, that one little phone call, that one little meetup, it can all make a difference. It can all make a difference. So it's valuable stuff. It's about, I don't know, in some ways, I think we've lost that sense of community that we had when we were younger, because of perhaps social media and various other things. And it's about just finding a different way to shape that community feel, so that people are, you know, are looking out for one another and, you know, do care about each other. And that's... Absolutely. Yeah, that's where we I think we all need to go as a society. I know that's a bigger thing than me walking to your ground with a bunch of fans, but yeah, that's where we should all be going.
It's a start, wasn't it? It's a start.
Yeah, John. Definitely.
John.
Yes, mate. Yes. Go on.
Go on, Tuna Arden, then. Come on, because
No, I mean, no, honestly, because, Paul, you speak so well, and it's...
Thank you.
It's not a... It's, well, I mean, sometimes it's bad for us, because then it means we have less questions for you.
Yeah, I'm quite chatty as well. No, it's...
normally, we don't have a problem with it, but no, you honestly, every time I'm speaking to you, you always speak so well about it, so clearly, it's clear that it's never been about yourself or anything. It is genuinely about getting the message out there. And that's the main thing I want to, you know, leave with people whenever we talk about this. And like Jason said, you know, if you have to come and speak to us, you know, send us a message, whatever. It's just once you take that first step, and I can speak from my own personal experience, once you take the first step and you ask for help, your life, just the level of improvement, you honestly can't even, I know that if you're suffering right now, you cannot sort of fathom it, you can't see it. I know I certainly couldn't at the time, but when you ask for that first bit of help, then it just opens up everything. And honestly, it's such a relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's somewhere I've been, somewhere I didn't like. And I know from experience that the best thing to do was tell someone in the end. Took a while, but I did it.
Yeah.
And then find that help. And, you know, every now and again, I still go down, you know, into
a
bad place. That's what I've got to live with and cope with. But it's a horrible, horrible place to be. And the best thing you can do is find someone who you can talk it through, try and get that little bit of help, try and get that little support, and then find a little positive, and then use that as the first building block, and then build and build and build on those. That's what it's about.
Yeah,
it's about maintaining that happy space, albeit in that earth at the same level, rather than coming down or going up. You know, that's where you want to be.
Yeah,
I think it's an important message to get out there. There's always a way road back, isn't there? There's always a road back.
Yep.
You know, while you still can take the first step. Anything anybody wants to add to this before I wrap it up, guys?
Are you going to sell us Wan-Bissaka?
No, great. We had this last time. No, he's not. I think it's I don't know. He's such a good talent. He's certainly from a defending point of view. I think he's got work to do on the attacking side, but that'll come. He was a winger as well once upon a time, but I don't know how he does it. His tackling is immense. It's absolutely immense. Just nobody gets past him. You know, I think Sane's about the only person I've seen go past him, and that was only once or twice, you know. But yeah, he's an immense talent, and we love the fact he's a local lad to us as well. Same as Wilf, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Can you say Wilf? It'll really boil some piss in the Arsenal ranks.
They're so very split on whether we should sign Zaha. It's hilarious, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, the thing is, I keep seeing all these numbers flying around with regards to what he's worth. But whatever number you put on it, you know, you see a number and then you see a load of people on Twitter going, oh, a load of rubbish, he's not worth that. Well, he is to us.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. You know, if you've got a car out in the garage and you say it's £100,000 and someone comes around and offers you £5,000, you can tell them where to go. So, and That's where we are. He's worth every penny to us. He's a local. You know, he's been away. He's come back. Every time he has gone, we've always wished him well as well. We're not that sort of club that hounds our players for leaving. You know, we've always wished him well, and it didn't work out well. But to be honest with you, that was to our advantage. We got him back. We got him back at a lot less money as well. They're just two amazing talents, and I actually don't think they're going anywhere, either of them. Certainly with AWB, he's still learning. He's got another year. Roy's there. Roy might not be everyone's cup of tea, but he's an experienced, good manager.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of experience that he can pass on. And let's be honest, he's Wan-Bissaka's only a young lad. His value is not just going to drop out of the ocean tomorrow.
No, it's only going in one direction at the moment.
Exactly. So we might as well keep it. We might as well keep that. I think Wolf's also on a Wolf's got about 4 years left on his contract as well. So,
I mean, Arsenal are desperate for defenders, so no doubt we probably will go for a forward. So, don't worry about it.
Question, both of you, okay?
Yeah.
honestly, which person has made Danny Mills look like a bigger mug? Is it Thierry Henry in the corner flag, or is it Roy? Because I think it's Roy all over.
I think it's Roy. Yeah, I think it's Roy. Yeah, yeah. The thing is with Roy is he's just such a lovely guy. He's such a gentleman. But occasionally you'll just do something and he will just have that little snap, or he'll come back with the best comment ever and just put people back in their place. And
you're not a manager for as long as he is at some of the clubs that he's managed at without being good at your job. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And yeah, and that's good at the media side of your job as well. And just managing all of that, you know, it's bigger than a bunch of players, isn't it? And everything else, it's that whole you're the front window of that club when you're doing your press conferences, etc., or your after match interviews. So
yeah, to survive the England job and come out the way he has, fair play to him. You know, you give him some credit.
Absolutely.
Right, that's it for tonight, guys. That was the mental health special. It is dedicated to Ed Loud, his granddad. And the guy knows who he is. I don't need to say his name, but you know who you are, pal. You're a pain in my backside, but it's for you. And for every single person who took part in this match, I tip my hat off to you. To Jake Corr, well played, sir. You're an absolute rock star. And to you, Paul, you're frigging brilliant.
Thank you.
Frigging brilliant. End the story. And you are always welcome back here. And whatever we can ever do to help you do publicize anything, we are always there for you, mate.
No, really, really appreciate it. Everyone who did the march are all heroes. Everyone who supported it, everyone who tweeted it, everyone who publicized it. Can't thank you enough. So we're going to keep going and keep trying to make a difference. And I just appreciate it so much from everybody. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
It's everybody, they're superb. They are superb. It reignites your faith in humanity.
Absolutely.
John?
As usual, Jace, you and Paul have both summed it up brilliantly. So it leaves me with nothing to say. All I'll say again is to anyone who's listening or watching, if you do have concerns or you're not sure who to talk to or whatever, or you don't know where to go, you're always welcome to come and speak to us, whether it is in a DM or Facebook, you know, wherever it is, send us a message and we'll try and point you in the right direction and help you in any way we can.
Yep. Excellent.
Magnificent. Right. That's it from us, listeners. My thanks to Paul, my thanks to John, and my thanks to you. Problem shared is a problem halved. And that's it.
Yep.
John, switch this off.